Now's a time when things are shifting. There's gonna be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and today it is Tuesday, the 3rd of May, and we are rounding off to close to the 1 p.m. Eastern time zone. We thank you guys for hopping on here today live on Facebook. And we want to welcome you at this time to the broadcast. Again, if you're new to the broadcast, right there in the comment section below, please let us know where you guys are joining us from and specify that you are new or this is your first time. We would love to hear from you as always. And before we get started on today's broadcast, as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If you've not yet downloaded our free app, please do that at some point in this, during this segment. Preferably at the end of our segment, right there in the description below is a link where it says download our free app. If you'll click that link, you can get the app available on Apple and it's available on Android today. And again, it's absolutely free and it's for your convenience to keep up with all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our free podcast that you can both either listen or watch at your leisure. So at this time, I want to officially welcome everyone who will be watching today, either by the live broadcast or by the rebroadcast of this on Rumble or YouTube. Again, I'm Ricky Scapell, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Today, we got an interesting topic today. I want to talk about the anatomy of the blood from Hollywood to the Supreme Court. So we're going to talk about two different fronts here, but it's all going to come together. I'm going to show you there's a common denominator that's included in everything that we're going to talk about today. So without further ado, I want to get to this first story that made a lot of headway, not just on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, but this was a very strange and bizarre story to many of us who understand what goes on in Hollywood and goes on with all these people. This is not really strange or out of the ordinary, but we want to talk about this today. Megan Fox recently opened up and gave jaw-dropping details and revelation that her and Machine Gun Kelly drank each other's blood, or they drink each other's blood. And we're going to give you more details about this. I know this is disturbing at some level, so there is viewer discretion, but we're going to pull all this together and explain why this is important for us to understand this and to know this and to have understanding of this. According to the report from FaithWire.com, Transformer star Megan Fox, that's where many of you guys will probably remember her, raised eyebrows back in January when she revealed that her and her now fiance, recording artist Machine Gun Kelly, drank each other's blood during their engagement. But since then, she has become more open to it. To revelation on this, the 35-year-old celebrity opened up about the bizarre and concerning claim during a newly published interview with the British Glamour. She went on to say, quote, "So I guess to drink each other's blood might mislead people, or people are imagining us with goblets and we're like, quote, Game of Thrones drinking each other's blood." Fox went on and told the magazine that, quote, "It's just a few drops, but yes, we do consume each other's blood on occasion for ritual purposes only." I want to say that again, for ritual purposes only. She went on to share more jaw-dropping details, telling the outlet about her dabbling into the occult. I'm going to read this quote. This is from Megan Fox's own testimony. Quote, I read tarot cards and I'm into astrology and I'm doing all these metaphysical practices and meditations. She went on to say, quote, and I do rituals on new moons and full moons and all these things. And so when I do it, it's a passage or it is used for a reason and it is controlled where it's like, quote, let's shed a few drops of blood in each drink it. Guys, there is no hiding. Let me say this. What you're seeing here with Megan Fox, this is not some isolated event. There is a lot of individuals, I would say, in Hollywood, and you would be shocked at the amount of celebrities and famous people that are also partaking of this. Now, Megan Fox just so happens to be blunt about it and is not hiding it and is not sweeping it under the rug, but she's being very open about this and saying it's occultic, it's rituals, tarot cards, astrology, blood shedding, drinking of the blood, the whole nine yards. Guys, make no buts about this. This is full-blown demonic and occultic. She went on to even say, according in the interview, she said, quote, he's willing to just cut his chest open with broken glass and be like, take my soul. When asked if the particular scenario has ever unfolded, Fox said, quote, it doesn't happen. Let me tell you, maybe not exactly like that, but a version of that has happened many times. Wow. So what's even more bizarre, I want to pull this up here. This, it's just ridiculous. This was from TMZ magazine. And I'm just going to read this. Quote, Machine Gun Kelly's revelation that he and Megan Fox drink each other's blood is drawing a warning from, quote, vampires. Yeah, the real deal. And believe it or not, they're reminding the couple, safety first. While Machine Gun Kelly and Megan haven't explicitly used the V word, many people took to Twitter and began to label them as vampires. And now self-described vampires are weighing in on the famous couple's blood drinking ritual. I know this is, you can't make this stuff up, guys. But again, we can laugh this off and we can ignore this stuff, but I'm going to show you the genesis or the origin of where all this stuff originated from. That's what I want you to stick around for, and that's what I want to educate you on. The co-founder of the New Orleans Vampire Association, did you even know there was such a thing? I didn't. Is urging that Megan and MGK take proper precautions before drinking their lover's blood, including testing for potential diseases and bloodborne illnesses. Wow. Like, hey, it's okay to drink the blood, but let's get screened first. Really? The report went on to declare that they've been together for nearly 2 years, which alleviates one's concern because, again, according to this founder of the New Orleans Vampire Association, he says that, quote, most vampires do extensive research on their blood donors before using even the slightest drop. So, again, what am I talking about? I'm talking about, you may think this stuff is theatrical, Hollywood, theatrics, whatever. No, this is really happening. This stuff really takes place. There's really witches, there's real warlocks, and there's real people in the occultic and the demonic. And let me give you this up. This was an article that came out several years ago. This was from The Guardian. Quote, blood-drinking devil worshipers face life for ritual satanic killing. I'm going to read a little bit of this. Again, this was back in this was years ago. This was in 2002. But let me give you a little bit of a let me talk about this. A young married couple who admitted to a ritual satanic killing were told that they could spend the rest of their lives in a secure psychiatric unit after a trial which has raised the specter of bizarre underground occultic groups in Britain. Manuela Ruda, 23 years of age, told a German court that she had become a vampire in London. And her husband, Daniel, 26 years of age, were given prison sentences of 13 to 15 years, respectively, after admitting to the hacking to death of a friend in their flat in Witten in the Ruhr Valley. The victim was a 33-year-old colleague of Daniel's. He was targeted as suitable prey for his mild temperate and love of the Beatles and was lured to their apartment where he was later beaten to death with a hammer. Manella told the court, quote, "Then my knife started to glow and I heard the command to stab him in the heart." Now, who did she hear that command from? That wasn't God. Well, somebody said, well, that was a voice in her head. No, it was a demon. A demon spoke that. The couple stabbed the victim over 66 times. And that's not a coincidence that it was 66, because six is the number of man and it's demonic. Went on to say that they carved an occult pentagram on his chest and collected his blood in a bowl and then drank it. I know this is extreme, guys, and some of you are like, I can't handle this. So again, viewer discretion is advised. But now I want to get to the real meat of this. And because I know some of you are saying, why are you talking about this? Here's why we're talking about this. Because when you go to, listen, this stuff, I want to show you the origin or the genesis of this and where it began. What you're looking at on your screen here, if you're listening by podcast, by Apple or by Spotify, I pulled up a passage of scripture from a book of Jewish history called the Book of Enoch, chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Now I'm going to pull this back and I'm going to just explain to you this because I don't want to distract you with this for a second. Again, the Book of Enoch is a book of Jewish history. It's the writings of Enoch. Enoch was mentioned in the book of Genesis. He's also referenced in the book of Jude. Enoch walked with God. We know according to the scripture in the book of Genesis, he walked with God and he was blameless before God and he was taken. He was caught up. He was the first man that was raptured. He never saw physical death. He was caught up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and he was caught up unto the presence of the Lord, into the third heaven. And then allegedly, according to the writings of Enoch, while being there, he coined or he recorded what he saw. God gave him a series of visions and occurrences that he saw. He saw the underworld. He saw the third heaven. He saw the angels that existed at the fall of Satan, that fell with Satan, that rebelled with Satan, that called mankind. And we'll talk about that more in detail. But he saw all this and wrote it in these books called the First Book and Second Book of Enoch. Now, again, we're not exalting this book above the canon of scripture, the 66 books of the Old and New Testament. But what I want to emphasize here today is that when you go back all the way to these ancient manuscripts of Jewish history, it points out something very interesting and intriguing, and I want to pull that up. So let's pull this back up, and I'm going to read this. This is Enoch chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Listen to this. "And all the others together with them," and he's talking about the B'nai Elohim in Hebrew, or the sons of God, or the angels. This is who Enoch is speaking of. These are the angels that revolted against God, against heaven, and sided with Lucifer. Again, quote, and all the others together with them took unto themselves wives. By the way, that's referenced in Genesis 6. And each chose for himself one. And they began to go in unto them. They impregnated them and to defile themselves with them. This is where the giants came from. The demigods, half angelic beings and half humans. Watch this, quote, and they taught them, who's they? Again, this is the angels that did not hold their first estate. They taught them who? Humanity. The women, the men. They taught them charms and enchantments and the cutting of roots and made them acquainted with plants. And they became pregnant. Who? The daughters of men. Again, go back and read it. It's in Genesis 6. It bears witness of this. And they, the daughters of men, bear great giants, the Nephilims, whose height was 3,000 ells, who consumed, listen to this, who consumed all the acquisitions of men. And when men could no longer sustain them, who? The giants turned against them and devoured mankind. And they, now listen to this, and they began to sin against birds and beasts and reptiles and fish. Now clean out your ears and read this next part. And to devour one another's flesh. Look at this. And drink the blood of the flesh. The blood of what? The birds, the beasts, the reptiles, the fish, and humans. They drank their blood. Look at this. Then the earth laid accusation against the lawless ones. Wow, the lawless ones. Now I want to pull up, I'm going to pull this back here. And friends, this is what led to, this is exactly what led to the account in Genesis where the Lord said he was grieved with humanity. He was grieved with mankind. All flesh had become corrupt. How? Again, through this race of Nephilims, these demigods that were, again, according to Enoch, they were devouring flesh and drinking blood. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about, listen, the origin, the genesis of eating flesh and drinking blood. You know, zombie apocalypse movies. Oh, come on. Do I got your attention now? The Walking Dead. All these blood rituals, drinking the blood, carving the flesh, cannibalism, all that, the origin, the genesis of it was all the way back when these giants walk the earth. Don't miss it. It's absolutely demonic. Absolutely demonic. But I got to give you some more verses here. Look at this. Genesis 9:4, but you, these are commandments from the Lord, but you shall not eat flesh with its life. That is its blood. Genesis 9:4. Leviticus 17:1, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you. I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. Leviticus 17:14, for the life of every creature is its blood. Its blood is its life. Therefore, I've said unto the people of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any creature, for the life of every creature is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. Acts 15:20. This is New Testament. But we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from the blood. Now I'm going to go back here. Again, Genesis 6, 5, and 8. I want to recap this. So you have these giants in the earth devouring flesh and drinking blood. And because of this, the Lord says, quote, this is Genesis 6, 5, and 8. And then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was grieved, sorry, repented of that he had made man upon the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, quote, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the whole earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's Genesis 6, 5, and 8. Now, listen, if you watched our segment yesterday in Luke 17, I talked about, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. Now, yesterday, we homed in on the days of Lot. And today, we're talking about the days of Noah. So, again, if there was eating of the flesh and drinking of the blood in the days of Noah, it is going to repeat itself. It's going to rear its head again. It's going to surface again. It's going to become normal again. Isn't it coincidental? Yes or no? That, listen to me, that we are, humanity is being programmed to begin to become normal or acquainted with, watch this, eating of the flesh and drinking of the blood. Now, how's it? Now you say, well, Brother Ricky, that's not normal. How's this becoming programmed into society? Again, I talked about it at the beginning of this. Listen, do you know how many movies are out there about a zombie apocalypse? That, it, by the way, the entire notion of a zombie apocalypse is the dead coming to life and eating the flesh of the living and drinking the blood. Hello. And listen, The Walking Dead was one of the most popular series on AMC for years. And they broke off how many series from that? So don't tell me there's not an interest in this. Vampire movies exploded in the 80s, exploded in the 90s, even in the early 2000s. And they're still out there. Repackaged and revisited some way in some form or some fashion. Again, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the normalization of this, the conditioning society to embrace this and to welcome this. Because again, I believe it's going to repeat itself, and it is repeating itself. This same spirit, that's the same source behind it, demons, Satan, Lucifer, all of hell is perpetrating this. And you say, well, I came on here to listen to the Supreme Court thing, and what's that got to do with this? Oh, I'm going to talk about all that. Watch this. Let me go a little bit deeper. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, we learned from the incident of Cain killing his brother Abel and shedding his blood through his murder, that the Lord spoke and said, the voice of your brother's bloods, because in Hebrew it reads plural tense, bloods, cries out to me from the ground. Again, why? Because blood has a voice. I want you to say this with me today, because I'm going somewhere on this second part of this segment. Blood, ready? Say it. Blood has a voice. Now say this, ready? The life of the flesh is in the blood. When you get these two things down, and we keep going with this, it's all going to come together. Because eventually, listen to this, we got to get to Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, where John writes this down, and he says he saw, quote, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for their testimony, which they held." Listen to this. "And they cried out with a loud voice." Listen with these saints that were slain for their testimony to God. Listen what they're saying. Here's what they're saying, quote, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Listen, all the blood that has ever been shed on the earth, the blood of innocents, the blood of the prophets, the blood of innocent victims that have been shed through murder, through rituals, through homicides, and even through abortion, has been crying out for thousands of years for the Lord to avenge their blood. And I can show you in the book, I can show you in the New Testament, where Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders of his days, and he's saying, woe unto you, because you have shed the blood of the prophets all the way, and he points all the way back to the early fathers. Until then, and I got news for you, the day is coming when their blood will be avenged, and this is one of the reasons why the wrath of God is coming upon the earth in a space of time called the tribulation. And look, you don't want me to get deep. I can go deeper than that. And I could talk about how when blood spills on the ground becomes cursed and weird things begin to happen. We're going to get into that in a little bit, but I could go real deep. And I could even say, and I know because somebody will get hold of this video and they'll start laughing at me, but I'm telling you, it goes against what science tells you. But a lot of this groaning of the earth and natural disasters and earthquakes and things, I believe, is because one of the things that can be traced to it is the shedding of innocent blood that is seeped into the ground and into the soil and has been crying out for thousands of years for the Lord to avenge. No wonder it says in Romans chapter 6 that the whole earth travails and groans for the redemption. Now, that leads me to the next part of what I'm talking about here. Well, actually, you know what? Let me talk about something real quick. I don't want to close without saying, I don't want to close this first segment before we get into the next part about this. Here's what I'm trying to say about the blood rituals, the drinking of the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, right? We've determined that. Listen to me. Evil spirits are attracted to the shedding of blood. All you folks that are big paranormal activity watchers, and you like the ghost stories, and you like all them stories, here's what you'll determine. By the way, it's not a fluffy ghost flying around haunting a house. It's called familiar spirits. It's called demons that dwell there, and they have been given access to that home, to that location, to that place, or to that family, because somewhere, some way down the line, somehow they have opened the door for these demons to gain access and to habitat that place or those individuals or that family. And you say, how's that possible? I'm going to tell you how it's possible, because when you delve into something that attracts demons, you're laying out a welcome mat for them. Come on, I didn't mean to get into demonology 101 here, but I'm trying to help somebody today. Listen, when you take up a Ouija board, you are not talking to a dead relative. You are communicating with a familiar spirit who is familiar. Come on. These spirits don't die, guys. They are eternal. They've been there before you were ever born, and they are familiar with that location. They are familiar with everyone and anyone and every family and every generation that has lived in that location, in that region, in that home, in that building, or in that proximity of where that is. So if there's been homicides, there's been rituals, there's been bloodletting, blood shedding, the shedding of innocent blood, this attracts demons. And when you pull out a Ouija board and you start trying to quote unquote communicate to your dead Uncle Fred that died in a car accident 20 years ago, and you think you're having a communication with this guy, because this thing's moving around on the board and giving you answers, you are being deceived by demonic spirits and familiar spirits who have been here and are acquainted with this dude when he was alive. Spirits don't age. They don't die. They stay here. They remain here. You and I have been appointed unto God once to die in the flesh, but our soul and spirit, our eternal soul and spirit, will either go to hell or it will go unto paradise, unto heaven. But demonic spirits have been here upon the earth for thousands of years, and they've tormented mankind by the command of Satan. They're under his authority. So listen to me. The fact that Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly are head, we're talking about all the way deep into occultism involving the shedding of blood. I could tell you for a fact that they have opened the door for the demonic. And guys, listen, we need to pray for them. In fact, at the end of this broadcast, if nobody else is praying for this girl and this dude, we're going to pray for them, because I'm grieved. My heart breaks for them, because I'm telling you, this will lead tragically. This will end tragically, because when you open the door for the demonic, I'm telling you, you open the door for sickness. You open the door for disease. You open the door for disasters, for tragedy, for accidents, for all kinds of stuff. And I'm telling you, if you're listening to me and you are a professed Christian and you have one of these stupid Ouija boards in your house, or tarot cards, or you read your horoscope, I don't know why anybody wants to read anything that has the word horror in it. If you got any of that garbage in your home, you need to get rid of it. Toss it. These things shouldn't even be named among us as believers. They're demonic. They're occultic. And they open the door for demons in your home, your family, your marriage, your children. And it will pay. You're just laying a welcome mat for poverty, for sickness, for disease, and for disasters to come right into your home. Listen, my God, why in the world would I want a demonic spirit in my home when I have been given access to the Holy Spirit, who wants to bless me and prosper me and heal me and deliver me and give me peace? Oh, I'm trying to tell you, there's a lot of believers out there that's got a lot of trouble and a lot of anguish because it's self-invited, because they do this garbage, because their favorite celebrity does it. Well, my favorite celebrity drinks each other's blood, and that I think that's cool, and I think I'm going to do that for holistic health reasons, so therefore I'm going to do that. Phooey on that. Listen, no wonder the Bible says in the book of Psalms to not take counsel from the ungodly. Anybody that does that mess, and you call yourself a Christian, and this is your idol, are you kidding me? I question some stuff real quick right there. I'm telling you guys, it's time to come out from among them and be separate. But here's what I want to tell you before we get into the second segment and start talking about the Supreme Court and all that circus that's unfolding right now in the Supreme Court in the highest place of the land. I want to emphasize to you that the blood, somebody say the blood is the thing that is the major battleground between heaven, between hell, between Satan, and between God. Let me explain to you. Did you know that it was the blood of Jesus that was hidden from the foundation of the world? Because if the Bible says, if the princes of this world had known that God, the Father, had in store for taking his own blood and spilling his own blood to redeem all of mankind by his own blood, Satan would have never allowed Yeshua, Jesus, the only begotten Son. By the way, this is your Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So let me give you the gospel 101. God the Father said, how am I going to redeem all of mankind? Because the blood of goats and bulls and sheep and rams can only cover sins, but it cannot, come on, atone for sins completely. So what he did was, by the Holy Spirit, a young woman by the name of Mary was the recipient of the seed of God, where the blood was instilled. So when Jesus was born of the flesh, come on, he had blood coursing through his veins of the Father. So that when Jesus went to the cross and went through all the hell on earth that he went through, and the shedding of blood on each point of his body, this is all pictured. This was types and shadows in the old covenant, in the Old Testament, of an earthly lamb during Passover on the doorpost and on the lintel and all these things. All this was ritual. It was his types and shadows. So when Jesus shed his blood, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he, being the high priest of the profession of our faith, shed his own blood for us. So again, Blood has a voice. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So God took his own blood and redeemed all of mankind with his own blood. But watch this. There's been an attack. There's been this assignment from hell on the younger generation that has been going on all the way. Listen, why is that? Because if you go to Genesis chapter 1, when the serpent deceived Eve, and Eve deceived Adam, basically, and they both fell into sin, God showed up in the garden. He cursed the serpent, who was Satan speaking to the serpent. He cursed the serpent. Watch it. And he said, the seed of man will trample you under feet. And he was prophesying about the birth, come on, of Yeshua that would come, the Messiah, the Mashiach. So that was released in the atmosphere prophetically. So Satan knew that there was coming a day when the seed, come on, of man, there would come out of the seed of man a Messiah that would ultimately destroy Satan. So what did Satan do? He worked through world leaders to try to stop this prophecy from taking place. So what had happened? So Satan inspired Pharaoh to what? To destroy all the firstborn children. Why? Because there was prophetic chatter that a redeemer was being raised up that would deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Satan had already known there was a prophecy that had been spoken forth. So he inspires Pharaoh to what? To make a decree. Listen to me. To make a decree across the land to destroy the firstborn of the male child. Then we fast forward and we get into the New Testament. And then we see where, what do we see in the New Testament? We see where there is now prophetic chatter that the Mashiach, the Messiah, is about to be born. There's those, the sons of Issachar, those who had understanding of the times and seasons and understood the times of the signs of the coming of the Lord, the signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, these wise men and all these men that came to worship the Messiah. What happened? The Bible says when Herod had heard that the Messiah had been born in Bethlehem, the Bible says, what did he say? He said he inquired for those who to come and get him and bring him to him. Why? Because he was going to try to destroy the Messiah. Why? Because it was inspired by Satan. But we know that didn't happen. So what happened? He made a decree to begin to slay, just like Pharaoh did, all the male children that would be born. Why? Because Satan wanted to ensure that he was going to stop the prophetic word of Yahweh. But we know it didn't succeed. But listen, Satan has not stopped. So now here we go, thousands of years later. What did he do? He convinced humanity to begin to sign into legislation, into the highest places of law of the land, to willfully and out of choice destroy the blood of innocents. And now, what, over 40, 50 years now, millions upon millions of unborn children and even born children have been taken from the earth, the shedding of innocent blood. And by the way, it frustrated Satan when the prophet Joel came along and said that there was going to be a powerful move of God that would come out of sons and daughters that would be born, and that they would prophesy. And Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and when he spoke and said, today you have witnessed the beginning of what Joel prophesied, that this is that which Joel prophesied, that God said he'll pour out his spirit upon sons and daughters and upon all flesh, men and women. You don't think that angered Satan? So for thousands of years, literally, Satan has been on the warpath, and he's destroying our children through murder, through rituals, through accidents, through drugs, through alcohol, through suicide, hello. And yes, through the shedding of innocent blood that we have legislated for over 40 to 50 years. And that leads me to the next part here. And that is, I want to get you up to par with this.
Protests already underway at the U.S. Supreme Court tonight, as you're looking at video just into the newsroom moments ago from Washington, D.C., after a leaked draft opinion tonight came out suggesting that the high court will be overturning Roe v. Wade. The report out by Politico says a majority of the court has privately voted to strike down the landmark abortion rights decision. The case in 1973 legalized abortion across the country. The draft of the opinion, again, was initially obtained and reported tonight by Politico. The report published what was labeled as a first draft of the opinion of the court. It was dated in February after the court heard arguments in a case challenging Mississippi's ban on abortion after 15 weeks. A draft opinion that's this consequential has never leaked to the public before. A Supreme Court spokesperson saying the court had no comment tonight. ABC News says they've not independently confirmed the draft. Reaction is coming in tonight from Hillary Clinton to other leaders.
And because of this, listen to me, all hell has broken loose, literally. I'm telling you, if you think that people became unhinged about a Twitter takeover, that was a drop in the bucket compared to what we're about to see right now and what's already initiated. In fact, police have swiftly put barricades around Supreme Court after reported leak of the draft. They're already barricading the Supreme Court. Let me give you a little bit of information on this to get you caught up with this. But leaked by Politico, there a stunning report. I'm talking about an earth-shattering, at least for the United States of America. I believe the repercussions are going to go further than that. We'll talk about that. The stunning news last night, including a copy of what they identified as an initial draft majority opinion written by Justice Samuel Alito, circulated inside the court and was obtained by Politico. And listen, I want to say something right here. Don't think that this was an absolute agenda. For them to leak this is unprecedented. Never happened in the history of the United States of America. And listen to me, the reason why it was leaked is because they knew whoever leaked this, and by the way, they are trying to figure out who the leaker of this document was. The reason why they leaked this document is they knew that they had to put a stop to this, because if this went to law, if this went all the way through, this is a major game changer, a major momentum shifter. I'm talking about the shifting of our culture as we know it. So therefore, watch this. Thus, if you leak the information out to the public, it will cause a massive uproar and unrest, and it will put pressure on the Supreme Court justices to overturn or reverse their decision to begin with. Tell me I'm wrong. I don't believe I am. It's the Supreme Court standard procedure to take a vote of the justices following oral arguments in the case, and then Chief Justice John Roberts assigns the writing of the majority opinion to one of the justices on that side. The justice draft opinion is then circulated among the other eight justices for the review so that any who wish to draft their own concurring or dissenting opinions may do so. On occasion, one or more justices may decide to change their votes after reading the various draft opinions. Hello. After the justices have concluded their drafting and agreed, their votes are final. The majority opinion is released to the public together with all concurrences and dissents. According to MSN News, leaks regarding anything related to the inner workings of the nation's highest court are extraordinarily rare. Never before in the court's history has a draft opinion ever been leaked, and the highly contentious topic raised immediate security concerns. You think? Because guys, listen to me. I'm telling you, this law of abortion is sacred to people. If you don't believe me, look what's happening. Watch what's going to happen in the days to come. I'm telling you, people are losing their minds over this. And I'll get to what Nancy Pelosi and Biden had to say about this in a second. A ruling overturning Roe would deprive half of the nation of a, quote, fundamental constitutional right that has been enjoyed by millions of women for over 50 years. There's something about that statement that makes my stomach turn. Let me read it again. An overturning of this would deprive half the nation of a, quote, fundamental constitutional right that has been enjoyed. Who enjoys this? Millions of women, according to American Civil Liberties Union Executive Director Anthony Romero, said that millions of women have enjoyed this fundamental constitutional right to abort their children. Unbelievable. The breach in protocol at the court pales in comparison to the breach in constitutional freedoms the court is charged with upholding. All right, now, meanwhile, here's a shock. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer are furious at the Supreme Court justices after the leaking of this document. Quote,
yesterday, the Supreme Court took up a very important issue. I viewed it as listening to, as a very dark day. The Supreme Court heard arguments about the case of Mississippi's extreme law. The court is threatening to trample over the Constitution, destroy Roe v. Wade, and take away a woman's freedom to make the most fundamental decision that she can make for herself and her family, working with her family members and her doctor and her faith. It's scary. It's really scary. And I say that as a practicing Catholic, again, this shouldn't even be a political issue. Look at Ireland. Is there a more Catholic country? Look at Ireland and how they passed legislation respecting women.
Last night, a report came out that a conservative majority on the United States Supreme Court is ready to overturn Roe v. Wade and uproot decades of precedent affirming a woman's right to an abortion. It is hard not to feel angry, troubled, and deeply disturbed about what overturning Roe would do to women across America. More than 20 states have laws or constitutional amendments in place that would outlaw abortion should the Supreme Court invalidate Roe. Over 80 million women live in those states. If the report is accurate, the decision would be an abomination.
And that's interesting because when I go to the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 19, the Lord says, these six things I hate, says the Lord, yea, seven are an abomination to him. So I'm more concerned about what's an abomination in God's eyes than I am what's an abomination to what Pelosi and Schumer has to say. And one of the seven things that God calls an abomination is hands that shed innocent blood. That's not my words. That's the word of the Lord in Proverbs chapter 6. So this is insane, guys. This is unprecedented. It's absolutely, it's disgusting that this has happened. But we have to calm down and talk about the repercussions of this. First of all, you have to realize that this, if this passes, this is not a nationwide ban on abortion. What will happen is it will be given over to individual states for them to determine whether it is banned in their state or whether it's legal.
Roe v. Wade is overturned. The states that you see here on your screen in orange would be among the first to ban the practice entirely.
If Roe versus Wade is overturned, individual states would decide whether abortion will be legal within their boundaries. Take a look at this map. Six states would outlaw abortion, but according to the Guttmacher Institute, a sexual and reproductive health rights advocacy group, as many as 26 states are likely to quickly outlaw abortion, impacting 36 million people who may need to cross state lines for abortion care or resort to dangerous methods.
California, we have by far the most easy access to abortion in the entire country. You can get it as a minor. You don't have to have parental consent.
In four states, North and South Dakota, Mississippi, and Louisiana, abortion would be automatically banned. Nine additional states which had abortion bans before Roe would likely become law again. And in eight states, abortion would remain legal. If this control returns to the states, it would coincide with a growing number of Americans identifying as pro-life.
Biden says that this, quote, radical Supreme Court decision on abortion, listen to this, endangers gay marriage. Remember, I told you, this could be a massive cultural shift in our nation. President Joe Biden told reporters on Tuesday that the leaked Supreme Court opinion overturning Roe versus Wade could pave the way for decisions undermining various other policies, including same-sex marriage. In fact, Biden vowed opposing the ruling whenever it is officially handed down, and he called for voters to elect, quote, pro-choice lawmakers. By the way, the Democrats are wanting to pack the courts now more than ever after this right here has happened. He's asking Congress to pass legislation coding Roe, the 1973 decision legalizing abortion nationwide. I'm telling you, people are fuming. I'm telling you, the kingdom of hell is rattled today. And I'm telling you, I believe demonic spirits are being unleashed in the earth because of these very things happening right now. So you have the shedding of blood on individual levels that opens the doors for Satan on an individual basis. But listen to me. But anytime leaders of nations pass legislations that God calls an abomination, listen to me, it opens the door wide for either the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of hell based on what they're signing into law. If it's the things that God calls an abomination, what that's doing is it's lifting the favor of God off of that nation, whomever that nation may be, including the United States of America. Read Leviticus 26 and read Deuteronomy 28. It talks about this. So we are in unprecedented times. This is historical. This is something that every believer needs to seriously intervene in intercession and prayer over. We need to be on our face before God praying like never before, because I'm telling you, spiritual warfare is going to go to a whole other level because of this right now. So you better be prepared for crazy, because you're about to see it. You're about to see it. If you think that we've seen unrest and distress of nations in the past over civil things and over this and over that, get ready and buckle up, because we might be in for a really rough ride. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. We're going to pray real quick, guys, but I want to give you, again, more information. Again, if you've not downloaded our free app, don't forget to do that today. Don't forget to subscribe today. You can get it on Apple. You can get it on Android. You can subscribe to our free digest at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You're going to get every one of our headlines. You're going to get our podcast. Everything's going to be there for your convenience at your fingertips. And we would love for you to get that today. And it's absolutely free. As always, guys, we want to give an opportunity. If you've not yet supported this ministry, if you've not yet prayed about becoming a partner, you could do that two different ways. Easy. You can do it electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can give old school method by check or money order. And you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, we thank you and we appreciate you coming on today for the broadcast. Don't forget to share this. Don't forget whatever platform it is to invite people to hear this. I believe they'll be blessed by this information that we provide today. And as like I said today, we're going to pray. Let's pray real quick. First of all, I want to pray for Megan Fox, Machine Gun Kelly. Then we're going to shift and we're going to pray for our nation regarding this situation right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Megan Fox. I lift up Machine Gun Kelly. Lord, I pray that, Father, if they've not crossed that line of redemption, if they've not been given over to reprobate mind, Lord, we gather together in the agreement of the brothers and sisters that are watching and listening today. We come into agreement and we pray for them. We intercede for them. I pray, Father, for a Holy Spirit reckoning in their life. God, send a dream, send a vision, send a visitation, send an encounter, send a Holy Spirit reckoning in their life, that, Lord, that they would be saved, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, I bind every demonic spirit, and demonic power that has taken them hostage and taken them captive and gripped them under their control and their power. And I pray that, Father, you would set them free and make them free indeed in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Father, we lift up our nation today. We lift up the Supreme Court justices. We lift up all of our nation. We lift up our leaders in Congress and the Senate, all the way from lower levels all the way up to the highest place of the office of the White House. And Lord, we are praying for the wisdom of God. We're praying for the will of God. We're binding all assignments of hell, and we are asking for the assignments of heaven to be released. Father, we repent. I repent as a citizen of the United States of America. I repent on the behalf of our nation for the shedding of innocent blood, for the abominations that has been taking place in our land that has grieved heaven and grieved you, O God. And I pray today that, Lord, you would forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, you said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sins and wicked ways, then you shall hear from heaven and then heal our land. So, Father, as the church today, as we represent the church, the ecclesia, your people, we repent. Lord, we stand in the gap and we repent for the sins of our nation and ask that you would have mercy and that you would have grace. And Lord, that you would bring healing and restoration and real legitimate revival and awakening to our nation in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, God bless you. We're going to sign off for today. We will not be on here tomorrow. We take off on tomorrow or on Wednesdays because I have to teach at my local church classes there. And then we will be back on here, Lord willing, on Thursday with another great segment for you guys then. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.